Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wait until we get to our sad sap of the week. Generally, I wait until a little more of the week has passed before I designate our sad saps of the week. But man, Tito, it fits the bill. It's actually kind of funny. And let's hope it only happens once. It's right up there with sending the wrong lineup to home plate and batting out of order, which has happened in Major League Baseball this year, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being part of our hump show. We are 30 minutes away from the latest edition of Ask Amy Anything. And so on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on our, our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, we'd love to hear from you. The best questions, I don't know how we define best, the most interesting, the most unique, the most creative questions may reappear as part of our video version of Ask Amy Anything. It's one of our most popular hits on our YouTube channel, and we're putting together, it's been a while, we're putting together the third annual edition of Ask Amy Anything as a video. I have carefully picked my outfit. Just wait until you see. I even did my hair for the occasion. Oh, I know. It's not funny until you actually see me, but when you do, you'll laugh. Also, I'm pretty sure that yesterday's edition of Pre-Law set the record for most views ever.
Nerd alert!
A 30-second video, which essentially features me playing with a couple bags of Twizzlers, and about 5,300 of you watch the video. Thank God it was only 30 seconds, because then I'd feel like you really wasted your time. I mean, what else is social media for then if not to waste our time? Yeah, that video, it went viral. Isaac and I are letting Chris ramble on, and we're making faces behind his head.
We found the winning formula.
Oh, gosh. If you haven't seen it, it's still up on Facebook and Twitter. Though, generally, we delete the video from the previous show, so the previous pre-law gets taken down, because I do not want our entire social media sites to be flooded with nothing but videos of Chris and Isaac. Sorry. I mean, they're fun and all, but we don't need more than one at a time on the social media sites. Anyway, so it's still up, but I'm going to take it down after we get through the show. So if you haven't seen it and you want to see me playing with Twizzlers and making faces behind Chris's head while he tells you everything that's about to happen during the show, well, get after it. Get it. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. The kind of stuff that people pay attention to on the web is, it's goofy. I have to tell you, it's goofy. But that's okay, because we like goofy. I mean, that might be my middle name. Or if I could change my middle name, because I hate my middle name. My mother chose it because it was the name of her favorite aunt when she was growing up. But it's old sounding. I don't even know anyone named this in my world today. My mom's favorite aunt has passed away, so she's not with us anymore. The one I was named after, but I don't know anyone else by this name. I got to be careful, though, because there could be somebody listening by this name. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I don't tell people. In fact, I make people guess, and usually the answers are far funnier than actually what my middle name is. Anyway, I might change my middle name to Goofy, because I think it would fit perfectly. So we like Goofy. But now and then, we're also a bit serious, if we have to be. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, part of the Brain Trust, that just recently signed LeBron on the dotted line, and they sat down for an interview. I suspect you'll see more of them. Now the free agency has officially begun, they can actually talk about players, you know, pre-free agency and crossing T's and dotting I's. You have to be careful about tampering, especially the Lakers, because they've already been slapped with a couple of fines for tampering. And so Magic and Rob were close to the vest. And the plan's still playing out. Yes, they got LeBron James, but what else? It's a two-year process, according to Magic. So how does LeBron fit into that? Why is he so giddy about LeBron joining Showtime in Hollywood?
Rob and I wanted gym rats. We wanted guys who love to play the game. We wanted guys who loves, they love to compete. They love to win. They love to sweat. And that's what we got. We got everything rolled in one with LeBron, right? And now he knows that he could take these young guys and really work on their skill set, work on their mindset, their approach to the game, their work ethic, and how they have to put in the time, like Rob just talked about. And he's already rubbing off on them and really has not gotten together with them yet, right? And so when you have the greatest player in the world come join your organization, it raises everybody's level of play.
That's why LeBron. That's why it's so incredible that he signed a three-year deal with the potential for a fourth, because he raises the level of play of everybody else around him. And that's what the best athletes and the best leaders in their sport do. Now, it comes with challenges in that your franchise is not your own. You don't tell LeBron how it's going to be done. LeBron comes in and has terms. LeBron comes in and has ideas. LeBron comes in and has a way of doing things. And if you want the best player in the world, well, you accommodate the best player in the world. And you make sure that you can live with the way that he wants things to be done. But if it means raising the profile, raising the winning percentage, and raising your status yet again, and that's what the Lakers are used to, well, then it's worth it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. They haven't made the playoffs in 5 years. For the Lakers, that's a long time. That is a drought of epic proportions. Not since 12-13. And Magic Johnson giving himself these 2 years to make sure that never happens again. If they could snap that streak of futility. And then there's Rob Pelinka, who looks like Rob Lowe. He's a former agent who's now in the front office. And he was asked, both Rob and Magic sat down on Spectrum Sportsnet in L.A. and did this. And this is all going on. Was it? It may not have been L.A. It might have been in Vegas, actually, during Summer League. So I think everybody's in Vegas. But it was on Spectrum Sportsnet out of Los Angeles. And he was asked about LeBron's impact on the Lakers.
Now LeBron is just going to multiply all those guys' skills, right? And he's going to show them what it takes to be an MVP or an all-star every day. You know, one of the things he said is, I will always be the first man in the gym and the last man out. That's just who I am. And so now you have a young core who's seeing that and they're realizing, wow, you can't just become great by saying you're going to be a great player. You got to do it. So Kuz, Zoe, Josh, B.I., all those guys are already, you can just tell the energy that he's brought to their work is unbelievable.
So he does raise the level of expectation, raise the IQ level, raise the level of play simply because he's one of the best in the world. And then instantly the profile, which means they're more attractive to free agents. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, this is great for Adam Silver. I personally think the NBA is giddy over this. Not because the Lakers are instantly going to win or even instantly a contender, but because when the Lakers are interesting and getting a lot of headlines as one of the most iconic franchises in all of sports, not just in the NBA, it's better. Not only because of the size of the market, but because of their winning tradition, because of all of the superstars and Hall of Famers that have played through that franchise. The tradition extends back decades. And again, this is the worst streak in their franchise history. Worst ever seasons in their franchise history over the last 5 years, plus not making the playoffs this whole time. So yeah, the Lakers, LeBron, good for the league. But you still got that team in the other end of the state, Northern California, the Bay Area, that's won 3 of the last 4 titles, which in my opinion doesn't require any conversation about how things need to change. Because if you know your basketball, you know the Warriors are mostly homegrown. It's been really smart decisions and sacrifices made by the front office all the way down through the roster. They've changed their bench almost every single year. I mean, they're a unique case, and a lot of it has to do with the guys that wear the uniforms and that work in that front office, that it's about the good of the team. But regardless, Commissioner Adam Silver, who was at the Board of Governors meetings on Tuesday, keeps getting asked about possible changes and ways that the league can be more competitive.
We have a very soft cap right now. And I think the question is, are there ways to enhance competition, you know, based on creating more sort of a level playing field in terms of number of chips each team has, and whether if certain changes we made would increase competition around the league.
Except that other than making sure it's a hard salary cap and cutting out some of the loopholes, cutting out some of the exceptions, what are you going to do? I mean, I would laugh my rear end off if the NBA came out with this. You can only have 2 All-Stars per team. Now, there are a lot of fans who would love that. Only 2 All-Stars per team. No more than that. Forget the fact that it would be impossible to, it'd be like tiebreakers in sports when you get really intricate. It'd be almost impossible to come up with all the caveats and all the exceptions to that too. But how stupid is that? The Warriors are not a problem. They're a franchise to be modeled. And remember, they went 40 years without a championship. They went 40 years in which they were the laughing stock in the basement and the gum on the bottom of the NBA shoe. Give them credit. It's like the Houston Astros. After being really bad for a handful of years, they made some really smart decisions in their front office. They drafted the right guys. They turned that franchise into a winner. Why is everyone so determined that something's wrong with the NBA? You've got LeBron, and you've got the Warriors, who were built the right way. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You've got a few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy. We're now about 20 minutes away from that timely and established tradition here on our hump show. Coming up, though, our sad sap of the week. I mean, it's cute. I love Tito. But this was a mess. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Having a bad week? Bad decisions?
Immediately regret this decision.
Bad calls.
You called me, I was illusional.
Bad bounces.
Oh no!
Bad luck.
No!
It definitely could be worse. Laugh it off with us. And the After Hours Sad Sap of the Week.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure what's worse, the way that the A's lost their game in the 11th inning in Houston or the way that the Indians lost to the Reds on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How about this? Trevor Bauer strikes out 12 Reds in 8 shutout innings, and the Indians still lose. Oh, my gosh. So, no, Bauer is not the sad sap of the week because he did everything that he needed to. The problem is Cleveland's bullpen entered Tuesday, with the third highest ERA in baseball, north of 5. And it doesn't make it any easier when you put the wrong guy in the game. Oh, my gosh. OMG. And I don't even say that. All right, so here's what happened. There was a bullpen mix-up. Things are getting dicey in the 9th inning. And after Trevor Bauer comes out of the game, Terry Francona is trying a couple of different guys. So Cody Allen comes in. He loads the bases after recording 2 outs. Okay, so bases are loaded in the 9th inning. Then you've got this. Well, you got a mess. Then you've got Terry Francona calling down to the bullpen, asking Carl Willis, who's the pitching coach, for Oliver Perez. All right, so he's looking for Oliver Perez, who goes by the initials OP. Not OPP, just OP. Instead, Carl Willis sends Dan Otero into the game. OT. So Terry Francona asks on the bullpen phone for OP, but what he gets is OT.
We actually, and I don't know, would never talk OT down because we had a communication. I said OP, and I think in the midst of all the, Carl thought I said OT. That one lands squarely on me. There's no getting around it. I got to be responsible for that. When I saw OT coming through the gate, and again, it's not that I don't think he could pitch, just not the guy I was expecting. So, and I know Carl's beating himself up right now, but that one lands on me.
Carl, as in Carl Willis. So how about that? When Terry Francona sees OT, not OP, coming through the bullpen gates, he's like, wait, what just happened? What's going on? So, yeah, the problem with Otero is that he had pitched, I think, in 3 of the last 4 games. So he was tired. He'd had a heavy workload in the last several days and shouldn't have been out there. And so instead of OP, OT goes out there and then gives up the runs that the Reds needed to be able to come back and win. To come back and take the lead in the top of the 9th, and then they were not able to score. They didn't give up any runs in the bottom of the 9th. The Indians weren't able to score in the bottom of the 9th, but wah, wah, wah. It's bad enough when your bullpen already stinks, but the fact that your bullpen stinks and you've got the wrong guy out there on the mound, oh dear. Hashtag sad sap of the week. That's what you get for using nicknames. OP or OT? I mean, definitely those two things sound a lot alike. Just put yourself in a ballpark and there's a lot happening. Now, the fans are not screaming and yelling because they're a little bit nervous now. The bases are loaded after Trevor Bauer just pitched a gem. But still, there's a lot of people crammed into small space there. And you say OP instead of OT, or you say OT instead of OP, or that's what Carl Willis hears. To me, that feels like you're playing with fire. And I'm laughing. Now, is it as bad as the way the Houston Astros beat the Oakland A's on Tuesday night? This one was bad, too. Both of the tying run and the winning run in the bottom of the 11th, after the A's had taken the lead in the top of the frame, both the tying and winning runs come on miscues at the plate. It's like something out of a comedy of errors, like something you'd see in a movie and you just don't believe it. So I mentioned this earlier. We actually have the calls. But there was the infield's playing in because there are runners on base, and Houston gets a ground ball to shortstop. And so throw comes home. It's too low for Jonathan Lucroy. The tying run scores. Okay, so there's a misplay at the plate. Or there's an error. But then the next one's even worse. Because Alex Bregman, who already had two home runs in the game, decides power is overrated. And he swings with all his might. And the ball essentially goes straight down. Right, it almost goes nowhere. It's bounding around. It looks as though it's going to be a foul ball, so he doesn't run. But because of all the spin on the ball, it spins back into fair territory. Well, Bregman's standing there like a sitting duck, right? He didn't run. He still got his bat in his hand, for heaven's sakes. Lucroy, the catcher for the A's, picks up the ball. Bregman backpedals. You know what? I've seen the video. I swear he went back over the plate. So he backpedals. Lucroy swipes at him and misses. Bregman then takes off with his bat down the first baseline. Lucroy drops the ball. I think it may have hit the ump. It's like bouncing all around. Again, comedy of errors. He then picks it up and thinks, okay, I still got plenty of time. No biggie. Bregman was late breaking. He really didn't break out of the batter's box. And so Lucroy calmly steps up and fires a throw that would have been the last out, would have gotten them out. Or actually, there might have been one out, but it would have prevented this run from scoring. And instead, he nails Bregman in the back of the helmet with the throw. Oh, gosh. So from missing when he tried to tag Bregman to then dropping the ball, still having time, and fires a perfect throw to hit Bregman in the head. And it then caroms away, of course. And so the runners were able to advance and the winning run came home. We've got multiple candidates for Sad Sap of the Week. All right, coming up, it's the latest edition of Ask Amy Anything. I don't know if Chris is smiling because he's got good questions. It's an evil look on his face. But the best ones may be used in the video version of Ask Amy, which we'll put together over the next 24 hours. We're actually going to do the questions tonight, and then Isaac will piece the video together. Because I really like my shirt right now. I picked it expressly for this video version of Ask Amy Anything. And so because I dressed up for the occasion, I mean, I'm dressed up compared to Chris, because I dressed up for the occasion, we're going to record it. But anyway, we'll do the audio version first. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, I should tell you, show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. That's where you can post the questions.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It is that time of the week again. Chris, do you feel comfortable with the Ask Amy process now?
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten into a bit of a groove.
All right, sounds good. So just when he gets into a bit of a groove, we're going to switch things up and do a video version of Ask Amy Anything. Though if you've seen any of the editions of Pre-Law, Chris is a star when it comes to the camera being turned on. It's his favorite thing. Chris does not get nervous at all. He really likes to talk. And so I kind of feel like it might be turned into the Chris show when we do the video version of Ask Amy Anything. Also, are you going to be taking off that hat?
I certainly can.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't feel like in the video version with a hat hiding most of your face that's really a good idea. But
when your mug looks like this, you got to hide it sometimes.
Oh, shut up.
You know?
When we, if I say something like that, I would expect that you would tell me to stop talking. Don't put yourself down. Do it with someone else. Don't do it on this show. Anyway, so we will do the radio version and then we'll worry about the video version because the video version stresses me out. Though, do you like my shirt? It's very flowery and flowy and pretty, isn't it?
Easter. It reminds me of Easter.
Huh. Okay. We'll see what it reminds everyone else of. Okay, go. Oh, wait. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Now go.
Okie dokie. Kevin on Facebook wants to know, Papa John's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, or other?
I do not like Domino's. Sorry, Domino's. Shoot, now I feel bad. I'll just go with the one I like the best, Papa John's. To me, Pizza Hut pizza's pretty good. But I love, if I have to go chain, I love Papa John's because it's thick. It's very It's delicious. It's scrumptious. It usually, to me, is like a good, juicy pizza, if that makes sense. Like, absolutely. It's not dry. I always have liked the fact that you get a whole lot of mouthful with Papa John's. And I feel like other pizzas are kind of, they're too thin. They're more cardboardy. Yeah, I like Papa John's. I feel like they put a lot of oomph into their pizza. They inject some oomph into their pizza.
Toppings?
Are you asking me what my favorite toppings are?
Yeah.
Hamburger, not sausage. I like hamburger on pizza, beef instead. I really like peppers and onions and mushrooms. All of my pizzas have to have mushrooms on them. I like broccoli. Really, a huge veggie pizza or a supreme pizza makes this girl one happy camper.
Wow, a lot of options on the toppings for the pizza. That's impressive.
Yeah, no, supreme is great. A supreme pizza is a full meal.
Yeah, for sure. Two or three slices, and I feel like you got to call it quits after those.
The last time I had, so my Cuba team is only, there's only six of us. But the last time I had them over, we did a pizza night, and they're like these young girls, two teenagers. I mean, they don't eat much, clearly. Either that or they were attempting not to. And I got two large pizzas and was stuck with more than half of the pizza left.
Oh, no.
Stuck with more than half the pizza. You know a new trick I learned? Someone on Twitter suggested it, freezing it and then eating it later on, which I assumed it would taste really bad. Oh, no, it did not. Unfreezing that pizza, pop it in the microwave or the oven, and it was like, it was just like it was yesterday's leftover pizza. So good.
Cooking tips on this edition of Ask Amy Anything.
Always.
Love it. Yes. All right. So Danny on Facebook wants to know, who are some of your heroes that helped define your life?
Both my grandmothers, one of whom is still living, 96 years old. I can't wait to see her in Wisconsin next month. Both my grandmothers were very tough women, outlived their husbands who both died of lung cancer. My grandmothers, Helen and Mary, also extremely generous and kind and sweet and funny, and the kind of women who would do anything for their family. So I feel like that taught me that you can be strong, but you can be sweet. You can take care of everyone and be responsible and have a, you know, have a home in which you can be proud, but you don't have to be hardened, if that makes sense. You can do everything as a woman. And, you know, my other grandma lived to 91. They both lived through extremely difficult times and lost kids and lost husbands. And yet, still were able to smile and be sweet and kind and compassionate. And so that really taught me a lot about what it means to be a woman of substance. Other heroes of mine, gosh, I have this, well, he's gone now. He died a few years back. But when I moved to Oklahoma, almost sight unseen, I moved to a town with more cows than people. It's a town called Woodward, way out near the panhandle, but it was 100,000-watt stick. So the radio station had 100,000-watt signal, which reached all the way to Oklahoma City, reached southwest Kansas, as well as the Texas panhandle. So a huge stick. Because it's so flat out there, the signal just traveled and traveled. And I got to do everything. I was news and sports director. I chased tornadoes. I did play-by-play of American Legion baseball and football and high school basketball. It was a really good job. But I moved out there with no friends, and it was my first time living west of the Mississippi, and I was so far away from family, and I was poor. It's not like I could travel back and forth anytime I wanted to. And there was a cowboy. There's no other way to describe him. He was a cowboy. He was a rancher. His name was Red because he had red hair. And he took me under his wing, and he not only made sure that I was comfortable and that he almost adopted me into his family. So he had a daughter that was about my age, and I became like a pseudo daughter. I was invited to all their family dinners as well as holidays. But every weekend, he would invite me to come out and ride one of his horses at this ranch where he ran cattle. And for a girl who knew no one, and I had culture shock moving to Western Oklahoma. Yeah. And he took me and made me a part of his family, and he made it fun for me. He bought me cowboy boots. He didn't laugh when I started a stampede on his property. I mean, he was so kind to me. And he, for someone who grew up without a dad, I did for the most part, he was this incredible father figure to me. And he made me realize that there are men out there who will care for you and love you without wanting something in return, which at the time of my life, I didn't have an example of that. So Red was also my hero.
That's an awesome story. Kim on Twitter wants to know, what is your favorite thing to read before you go to bed?
mysteries, murder mysteries.
That doesn't get the brain juices flowing a little too much before you go to bed?
It just completely changes my brain, so it's thinking about something other than sports and events. But I do love Victorian murder mysteries. I just started a new one, actually, on Tuesday morning. But you know what I just finished, though, if we're looking for other genres? I finally finished the Thrawn trilogy, which is Lucas canon. So Star Wars Lucas canon goes back to 5 years after the original trilogy, so 5 years after the Return of the Jedi, and it picks up the adventures post-Emperor, post-Darth Vader. Luke's already a Jedi. Leia's learning to be a Jedi, and Leia and Han are married, and they're having twins. So this whole, it's all Lucas canon, which to me is the only official Star Wars canon ever. And it was an awesome trilogy that I read. I read two books over vacation, and then the third one was like 400 something pages. Wow. And it took me a while to finish it, but it was awesome. I would highly recommend it if you like Star Wars.
Jeff on Facebook has a question that I am also interested in as a new member to the show.
Well, that's good.
What is the history of Boom?
Isaac, do you have it? There is a play-by-play, well, it's a play-by-play team, but it's a analyst in the NBA for the, is it Mark Boyle for the Indiana Pacers, who has this call every time a guy hits a three. So I was listening to the Pacers radio broadcast several years ago and heard him say, boom, baby. And so I started walking around the newsroom saying, boom, baby. I was imitating it. And then it just turned into me saying boom in big moments. And I have to give Isaac credit for this one. He dropped the boom, haha, on the end of a show, and it became our thing. I mean, it wasn't my idea to yell boom at the end of the show. Isaac did it one morning and completely shocked me. And the three of us, Tom, Isaac, and I, all laughed really hard thinking that was hysterical. But it was Isaac's creation one show after I couldn't stop saying boom. And so it started with Mark Boyle, and it went through Amy Lawrence, and then it ended up with Isaac Feldman. And now it's the signature moment. And funny, really quick, funny story. In Atlanta, when I was there doing my show from 92.9 The Game in early June, the morning show was so disappointed when they found out the boom wasn't live. It's not live. Most of the time, okay, I'm still talking at the end of the show and leading right up to it, but they thought it was live. So when I didn't yell boom in their studio, they're like, wait a minute, what just happened? And I was like, nothing. Where's the boom? I'm like, well, it happened like it always does. So I think there are a lot of people around the country who wonder if it's live versus a drop. It's a drop. It is me yelling it, but not in this moment. It was recorded a long time ago.
You can create it pretty spot on, though, on a given notice.
Oh, yeah.
Notice,
no, it's the thing. It's the thing that I do when I need a wake up moment. Boom! 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 Boom!
Boom. All right, Brian on Facebook wants to know, would you rather kick the game-winning field goal to win the Super Bowl or hit the walk-off home run to win the World Series?
Walk-off home run. I am not the kind of girl that can sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else do everything else for 58 minutes out of a game. I need to be out there for the majority of it. Otherwise, I'm a ball of stress. So as much as I respect kickers, some of the greats like Adam Vinatieri, who has kicked so many game winners that are memorable and epic, I'd rather be out there for the majority of the game and be impacting more plays, even if it means, you know, your name is not in a box score. So if you're comparing that to a guy who's in the lineup and bats every nine guys, I'd rather be the one who is on the field with the bat, on the field playing every game and then has the bat in my hand at least four times a game. I'd be a nervous wreck pacing up and down the sidelines waiting for someone to give me the ball to kick. Like, okay, now it's your turn.
3 seconds and the whole season's on your leg, I guess. I was going to say shoulder,
which
but
is
it's
great.
On your
no,
leg.
It's amazing. It's just I'd rather be out there more than just a handful of plays per game.
That makes perfect sense. Rich on Facebook wants to know, do you have a favorite type of cake to eat and also to bake?
I'm not a big baker of cakes, so I prefer to bake cookies. I do some pies. I'm about to try a pumpkin roll for the first time ever. This could be a disaster. I don't think I'll be sharing the first one with anyone. It could be turn my kitchen upside down, but I want to try this recipe. Cake is not really something that I bake a whole lot. I do love any type of a chocolate mousse cake or a double chocolate cake or a death by chocolate cake. But if I have to choose between cake or pie, I'm more of a pie girl. Also, the cool thing about working here is that I make a lot of cookies, Chris, but the rule is that no matter how bad they are, you have to eat them. I once made cookies for the guys that bounced. It was the first time my new oven. No, actually, Isaac loved them. They're my rock cookies, my pumpkin rock cookies, and Pete and Isaac ate all of them. I felt so validated that day. Like I was loved.
Well, I think that's probably the case anyway, cookies or no cookies.
Thanks, Mom. It's called Ask Mom Anything.
We got to get her on the show soon.
Oh, no, we are. And we're going to ask her the difference between whistleblowing and snitching. It's going to be epic.
Cannot wait for that. That's a YouTube video if I've ever heard one before. Alicia on Twitter wants to know, if you had to take a job in the service sector, what could you see yourself doing?
Cooking. I could cook. In fact, over Christmas time, my mom and I went to serve meals for people who were hungry, who a lot of them displaced by Hurricane Harvey and either poor or still weren't at a place where they could cook for the for Christmas. And we had a lot of fun in this huge kitchen with, I don't know, maybe two dozen other people putting together meals, packing up meals, serving meals. And there is a picture, I think I actually tweeted it, of me wearing the plastic gloves with the apron. Yeah, I would love to cook. I do enjoy cooking. I have worked at an Applebee's before. I worked as a Target customer service rep before. So, guest services is what they call it. So I have done service jobs before. I've actually, my first few jobs ever were cleaning. So cleaning and doing laundry. So I've done that before. I feel like we provide a service here. We provide an entertainment service, no?
Entertain the masses.
I mean, somebody's got to do it. And doesn't mind if you make stupid mistakes or say something dumb. That's
or stupid
me.
Videos.
I'm all in. Oh, that's you, man. That's all you.
Do you have any crazy tales from retail, so to speak?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Where people would try to bring something back that wasn't even sold from Target, and then it would be in like 8 pieces. But no matter what, you had to take it back. Or they would argue with you that they didn't. Like, they bring something back that was ripped or torn or had a spill on it, and they're like, it came this way. I mean, just like, or they don't have their receipts and they're arguing with you about why you should take it back anyway. Oh my gosh.
Bought it at a garage sale.
And around the holidays, it was insane. People are not super kind or nice or compassionate around the holidays. They're the complete opposite of what the holidays are supposed to epitomize, sadly. That's where you know you've crossed the line and your shopping experience has gone over the edge.
Yeah, malls in and around, I think every major city that time of year, it's chaos.
Negative, Ghost Rider. I avoid malls like the plague for sure. Thanks for all those questions. Did you save some for our video version of Ask Amy?
Whole separate list.
Sweet. All right, we're getting ready to go record that during the update. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. It's our hump show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.